Your national orienteering podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg bommet noe jævlig på bossen her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Your national orienteering podcast.
Hey, welcome to Your national orienteering podcast. And now we really see that there are orienteering races almost all over Europe. But I was in Oslo this weekend, and there it was a heavy snowstorm on Saturday, at least. So maybe a couple of weeks until the condition is really perfect there.
Yeah, here in Switzerland, it's been quite nice. And yeah, when I ran the race yesterday, it was my first time without a thermo this year. So it's a big step forward towards spring.
A small step for the mankind, but a big step towards the spring. I think we should start this episode by looking at the last two races of the Lipizia Open. There were held three races when we recorded last time, and the two last races was it Monday, Tuesday last week, or...
Tuesday, Wednesday, I think it must have been. Yeah,
that's correct. Race number 4 and 5, and in the overall, and it was the same names that ended this Lipizia Open good that had started it in a good way.
Yeah, so both the last two stages were middle distance races. So if you just go quickly through the women's class. The fourth stage were won by Rita Mara Marossi ahead of Katrin Müller, and then with Janka Mikes in third place. But here the gaps were quite big. Mara Marossi was winning with more than 2 minutes, and Mikes was also a minute down on Katrin Müller, so quite big gaps. The last stage, Mara Marossi once again ahead of Janka Mikes. And then a very surprised name in third place, a Danish girl, Nina Nyberg. I must say, I've never heard of her, but it turns out she's like world champion or something in biathlon orienteering. But still impressive that the world champion in biathlon orienteering that I haven't heard of before is actually good enough to beat runners like Katrin Müller and Hanna Wisniewska.
Yeah, impressive results there, definitely. And in the men's class, it was the Swedish victory in the fourth stage.
Yeah, so Johan Ek Larsson from Södertälje, the Swedish Armed Forces, as he represents here. He took the victory 20 seconds ahead of Wojciech Kowalski, with the French Alexandre Vernot in third place. And on the last stage, another Polish victory, but not Kowalski this time, but Bartosz Pawlak ahead of Aaron Baku and Wojciech Kowalski in third place. And that meant that in the overall, I guess, on the women's side, it was extremely close, you can say. In the end, it was only 24 seconds after five stages between Rita Mara Marossi and Janka Mikes, with Katrin Müller in third place, almost 3 minutes down. And these three were in a class of their own with fourth place Sofia Sarkozy, 15 minutes down. But yeah, very interesting to see that, yeah, you have five races with the individual start, quite some big gaps. Rita Mara Marossi lost a lot of time the first day, for example, but she caught back up with some good victories. And in the men's class, the gaps were much bigger. Double Polish victory for Wojciech Kowalski, 5 minutes ahead of Bartosz Pawlak. But then Ambrus Demeter from Hungary, he was in third place, 18 minutes down. But yeah, in the men's class, it was more of these guys that didn't run all the races, and therefore the gaps are really, really big.
And experienced Wojciech Kowalski shows that he's still competitive.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, it's a nice contrast on women's side. Yeah. So Rita Mara Marossi, she's 19 this year, I think. Janka Mikes is 18 this year. One and two on the women's side, and then on the men's side, Wojciech Kowalski, which is over 40 at least. I'm not sure exactly. I think he's born 82, so then he should be 42 this year.
and still going strong. And he will be in your Tuomela team this spring.
Definitely, he will be one of the key players in that team. Last year, he ran the long night and did that very, very well. So he will be a key member in our team.
We can travel from the Piteå Open till Göteborg and the race called Göteborgspremiären to look if there is some on the West Coast showing up to be key players in their Tuomela team.
Yeah, and yes, it was three races in Göteborgspremiären. First Friday, it was a night sprint with almost no runners in the elite classes, so we just skipped that one. And then there was a middle distance and a long distance with quite good starting fields in both classes. And yeah, key players in their clubs. I think we can start with a bit of a silly season because the winner of the middle distance, Lisa Åkesson, I see that she's now representing Mark Bygden's OK. I think she was originally from Mark Bygden and then she has been running 2-3 years maybe like that in Iko Hope, and now she's back in Mark Bygden together with her sister. Yeah, what's her name? Erika Åkesson. Yeah, so Lisa and Erika Åkesson, both of them have been running for Iko Hope the last few years, and now they're back in Mark Bygden. But yeah, victory for Lisa Åkesson, 3 seconds ahead of Sabine Aumo. We saw in Portugal meeting that Sabine Aumo is very, very good this year. And the gaps behind is also significant. Ida Agevik Kristiansson in third place is losing 1.5 minutes. We see the junior Alma Svenner in fourth place. And then also more Danish runners in fifth and sixth place with Malin Agvik Kristiansen and Eva Ernhagen Jørgensen. So it's solid names in top and impressive from Lisa Åkesson to win. I wonder if it's her first year in elite class or maybe the second year, but she's very young and doesn't have a lot of top results in at this level. So good start of the season for her.
Yeah, and we can see that the mentioned sister, she is number 11 here, 4.5 minutes down on her, on the winner on and her sister. I did not reach to Lisa Åkesson, but there was this runner, Sabine Aumo. She was 3 seconds down, and she said that it was a good race for her, except for some of the legs in the middle of the race. Where she lost a bit of time on some legs, but not any big mistakes. Those two were 1.5 minutes ahead of the others. So, yeah, quite good racing from both of them.
Yeah, and quite some good racing results in the men's class. Gustav Runefors, it feels like we're speaking about him winning races in Sweden every weekend. And now he won the middle distance, so another victory on his list. Beating the two IFK Göteborg guys, Ludvig Eken, Johan Högstrand. And then in fourth place, we have the young Oskar Broman Jensen. And then further down, there's a lot of these guys that are, that you always see in these races in the West Coast with Martin Alberger from Göteborg Majorna and so on. The gaps were not that big. 42 seconds winning margin, but Ludvig Ek is also a very good runner, so it's not the easy victory to come and pick for Gustav Runefors.
We mentioned the last episode, the debut in Ukotisaran for the junior Alfred Bjørnerød. He was more than 3 minutes down here on 11th place. Maybe a bit disappointing from his side.
Yeah, but it's when you're a junior. You have to, and you're running against the elite runners. Some of the elite runners are better, that's reality. I think 3.5 minutes in the first race of the season, it's not that big margin. But he has to improve a little bit before J-Wook in the summer, but he has a lot of time to do that.
Yeah, we have talked a lot about Gustav Runefors. And he was satisfied with his race here on Saturday. But he said it was a bit difficult to get into it because the scale was 1 to 5,000 on the map. So that's a bit unusual.
Yeah, very unusual. But
especially on a middle distance.
Yeah, and then the following day, it was long distance. And here the gaps were much, much bigger on the men's side. But on the women's side, we saw another close battle. In the middle distance, it was 3 seconds between number one and two. In the long distance, it was 6 seconds between the experienced veteran Lina Stram and the much, much younger Malin Agvi Kristiansson from IFK Göteborg. And then in third place, we see Eva Ørnhagen Jørgensen, 3.5 minutes down. But yeah, solid. Not unexpecting to see Lina Strand still being able to win these kind of races. But yeah, some bigger margins further down. Eni Alava in fourth place, Tampere-Pyrenter, the new in Tampere-Pyrenter this year. I must say I'd kind of expected her to be closer. In the middle distance, she was also quite far behind. But she, obviously she is not in top form early in the spring, but she has a lot of time to do to find her form for the bigger relays and also for the international season in the forest for the autumn season. So yeah, but another win for Lina Strand. I guess it's not the first race she's been winning in Gothenburg over the years.
No, as we mentioned, a really experienced runner, but now she is retired from the top elite orienteering, but she is definitely training quite a lot when she's working as a, I think it's an orienteering coach for some of the orienteering gymnasium there in the West Coast.
Yep. And then on the men's side, another victory for Gustav Grundfors. Big margin, 4.5 minutes down to Linus Agvik Kristiansson. And then in third place, it's a guy I don't think I've never noticed him before. Johan Olsson. Not the famous skier, but Johan Olsson from Göteborg-Majorna. From what I have been able to find out about him, he's 25, 26 or something like that. He's coming from IK Uven, which is a smaller club, I think in the region of Göteborg. I'm a bit weak on the West Coast clubs. But he's a very good catching features player. That's where I've seen the name before. But yeah, obviously, it's also a good orienteer because when you're less than 5 minutes behind Gustav Runefors in such a long distance race, and you're beating guys like Victor Rundby, Ludvig Ek, Vega Kittilsen, and so on, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I think this was a really good race from Gustav Runefors also. He is telling he was really satisfied with this race. He was a bit tired after a tough week of training, but the race in itself was nearly optimal. Now he is going to take a bit easier in the training to get a bit better shape until the really important races. And he's also telling that, this was probably my last victory this spring.
Yeah, because now... the big stuff is coming up and the big boys from the national team are coming home to start racing.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how far up we will see him in the results list in competition against the best in Sweden. I have a feeling he's not so bad. He's talking himself a bit down here. I think this race was really good on Sunday at least.
Yeah, but you know, it's always something different when you're coming into, for example, a Swedish league or something like that, and you have ambitions and there's a little bit more pressure and a little bit more nerves, then you might not be able to perform better in the big competitions than you are doing in the smaller ones. But yeah, it will be interesting to see, because I think the way he's been running the last month, he should be able to get some really, really good results at the upcoming Swedish league and so on. But it can go both ways.
And Göteborg, we traveled to Södertälje and Kringeltrappen. It was a middle distance there in Södertälje on Sunday.
Yeah, in a very, very nice terrain. That was the highlight of my breakfast this morning, watching the GPS from different courses and different races this weekend. And then the map in and the courses in Södertälje looked really, really nice. Giving me a nice flashbacks. But yeah, we saw a pretty long middle distance here. For the women's, it was almost 40 minutes. And for the men, it was 37 minutes winning time. On women's side, Austrina Kutkaite, the Lithuanian girl running for Iktisa, been living in Sweden for close to 10 years, more or less. She took the victory 1 minute ahead of Tilde Backlund. And then we have a French third place in Chloe Habercorn from Denzel.
And Austrina Kutkaite, she is telling, maybe most important that she's enjoying our podcast, but also about the race, that it was a really good race. But she had a bit of trouble when it was this compulsory passage in the middle of the course. Did you notice that when you were watching tracking, Ivo?
No, actually, that I did not notice.
There she lost a bit of time, but she managed to stay focused and took her time to do the orienteering when it mattered most. So she was satisfied with this race.
Good. And then on the men's side, Philip Trofast from Bredaryd took the victory 1 minute ahead of Ole Boström, the former VOK medalist from middle distance 2015. He's been having a lot of issues with his body since then, but now he's obviously back in decent training. So last weekend he did the Engadin ski marathon down here in Switzerland, and now he's running a middle distance, so it's good to see him back in action, even if he's not at the same level as he used to be. Third place went to Oskar Sandberg from Malungs OK Skogsmorderna, but he was almost over 3 minutes down. And then I think we have to scroll down a bit to one of the most interesting names in the start list and in the result list. Hannes Mogensen, did you scroll that far down?
No, I didn't. I stopped at one runner who won the Swedish League back in 2022 in the autumn there, Jonas Gustafsson. He was a bit down here, but I didn't see Hannes.
Yeah, so Jonas Gustafsson, he was down in 10th place, but Hannes Mogensen, he's all the way down in 37th place. And looking at the splits, it's, these young guys, they are really going for it. So he was in the lead after four controls, and then he lost 5 minutes, and then he made some other bigger mistakes and lost a lot of time. And then he had some decent splits here and there, but a good start for 4.5 minutes and then a catastrophe.
In Sweden, they call this junior rusning.
Yeah, the juniors, they are always starting very fast, because they are so young and still have so much explosive muscle fiber. So, they can't stop themselves.
Yeah, but I think also early in the season, it's easy to get a bit the cows are out on the fields for the first time in the season. They're jumping around and not so good traveling there either. So his technique will be better in just a couple of weeks. But Philip, he said it was not a perfect race, but even though he's satisfied, he thought it was quite a difficult area. And as Runefors, he is also telling that this was a good answer before the really important competitions will coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so both Trofast and Runefors are looking forward to meet the big guns in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks until the Swedish League opening in Soto, Sweden. So I think we will do a little preview next episode, and then we might come back to what kind of chances we can see for guys like Runefors and Trofast when all the national team runners are back at start line.
Yeah, what they say, after a long winter of training, it's almost the same as every year, just a couple of small differences,
more or less the same. Yes,
it was exciting to see that in Switzerland, it was an important race this weekend. On Sunday, it was this, national orienteering race. It's this Swedish Cup race, as far as I know.
Yeah, so it's like a Swiss Cup, but there is, I don't think there is an overall score or anything like that. So there's every year there is between 8 or 12 of these national or well, that is like national competitions. Some of them with a really, really good start field. This time it was good, but not all the national team runners were there. Some people are a bit more in the sprint focus and sprint mindset and not doing that much forest orienteering at the moment. But yeah, it was a good start field.
And we had some guesses before this race. If Simone Abelsol would win with more or less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it started very good. The first 8 legs, she won all the 8 legs, and then the lead was over 2.5 minutes after like 20 minutes of running. But then she actually made some mistakes. And even if she had some really good split times in the end as well, if she couldn't really get to the 3 minutes margin, but still a clear victory, winning with 2 minutes and 40 seconds ahead of Elena Hovald-Ros. And then we saw another retiree taking the last spot on the podium with Sabine Hauswirth. Also, she managed to go just below under 3 minutes down. So the veterans, Hovald-Ros and Hauswirth, they have still been training a little bit since they retired in October.
Yeah, definitely. But Simona, she was quite satisfied with her race here. And as you mentioned, she had a retrace mistake. And also a mistake further down where she lost in total 1 minute. Otherwise, she was happy with the race and she felt also good with the running. And she enjoyed the technical part of the race where it was a bit more challenging.
Yeah, the courses and the terrain and the map was really good. It was the World Cup middle distance area from the World Cup final in 2013. So maybe some of our listeners, they can remember that that terrain. Maybe some of them were running back then. One area was really, really cool with these high cliffs and big hills and also big depressions, deep depressions. And the women's course, they had a much bigger proportion of their courses in this part, while the men's course was much longer and had a part in a little bit less interesting area. So I can understand why Simona was very happy with the terrain and the challenges she got.
And in the challenges in the men's class, it sold out that there was quite tight about the winning here. Almost a double for Abelsold family.
Yep, but Fabian Abelsold, he had to be happy with the second place because he got beaten by Timo Suter. Timo Suter is running for Cordoba, which is the same club that is organizing. So I don't think he is from Baden, but yeah, somewhere in the region. And he is really good in this kind of terrain. Even if he's maybe have some of his best results in the sprint races, he also do good forest orienteering sometimes. I think he was in the top 15 at the World Cup in Czech Republic last year, for example, in the forest. So he's a good forest orienteering, even if he's maybe slightly more headed towards the sprint, especially this season, of course. And then in the women's class, we had two retired elite runners on the podium. In the men's class, it was only one, Florian Hovald, the very, very experienced runner from OLG Herzogenbuchse, which is obviously the best club in Switzerland. It's also my club. He took the last spot on the podium, but almost 2 minutes down. He took one very, very creative route choice in a slope where he lost a lot of time, but I don't think he would have been challenging for the win, but maybe he could have beaten Fabian Abelsold with a good route choice there.
About retired runners, I also looking at one guy just a couple of seconds ahead of you down here in 15th place. Several times medalist in the long distance in the world champs, Mark Lowenstein, still going strong here, I see.
Yeah, Mark is he is a little bit of my rival down at these races here in Switzerland. We are often quite close. When it's physical, he's normally beating me quite easily. But when it's not too physically, then I can give him a good fight. And you know, he's married to my boss, so it's also important that way. I guess for him, it was really good to beat me. He was laughing, very happy when I said that I was 5 seconds slower. So, but yeah, I think he's close to turning 45, but still going very strong.
Yeah, he is. He's born 1980, 44 this year. But we also see there is some first year senior runners doing quite good here. So yeah, it's also growing in Switzerland. But Timo Suter, he was satisfied with his race. It was a really good race. Just some hesitations in the beginning, he says. And otherwise, it technically was quite great, as he mentioned it. He tried to run intelligent, use the path, and take some extra meters for good route choices instead of going straight and sliding in the hills. Did you have troubles with that?
No,
really slippery, he says.
Yeah, it's been a bit rain the last few days before the race, and the slopes were really steep and really, really muddy. But yeah, because I've been injured a bit and during the winter and not been able to run so much, I was acting really, really cowardly and taking it very easy, and I avoided slipping. But I obviously need to be more risky and to run faster in the future.
One guy who did not run this race, but he has planned to run really fast, but on asphalt this spring and maybe also this summer. Matthias Kibutz, he is doing his marathon. He's going for marathon in Olympics in Paris this summer. Can that be possible?
Yeah, it can be possible. He's running the Paris Marathon the 7th of April, and that's where he's going to go for the Olympic standard. The Olympic standard is insanely hard this year. Last time for the Olympics in Tokyo, it was like 2 hours 11 minutes, and this year it's 2 hours 8 minutes and 10 seconds, meaning you have to run 3:02 minutes per kilometer for 42.2 kilometers. So that's really, really going to be a challenge. But his training has been going very, very well the last few months since he, yeah, I think it was around Christmas, then he turned full marathon training. And this weekend he ran the Swiss Championship in half marathon, which was like the last final test for the marathon in 3 weeks. And I think it's going to be interesting to hear what he's saying about his training and about his target and so on. And this was the interview was made before he ran the Swiss Champs half marathon. So he also has a prediction about his performance in the interview, and then we can compare it with what he actually did afterwards.
Yeah, I asked for an interview, and he said, but up, aren't you an orienteering podcast? He said to me with a link. But of course, that's also is mentioning when we are talking, he's still an orienteer. But I think it's really interesting to hear his evaluating his training and his possibilities for doing this marathon in Olympics. I think we should listen to what he has to tell us. Even National Orienteering Podcast has this time reached down to what we will call last year's best orienteering runner in men's side. But this year, Matthias, what will you call you, a road runner, or what should we call you this year?
Yeah, at least in winter and now this spring preparation, I'm rather a road runner, that's true. But we will see how this journey will continue towards the summer.
We should maybe explain for those who don't know. You switch towards going for participation in marathon in Olympic Games in Paris. When did this start to be your goal?
Well, yeah, it started when I set up my goals for this year. I was thinking about what really motivates me, and then I came across this marathon project. It's a new challenge I'm really looking forward to, and it was also because I got father, and it's basically way easier just to train from home than to go to orienteering camps all over Europe. Were more factors. But now the goal is to give my marathon debut, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, how has this changed your training and way of living, so to say?
Yeah, in training-wise, quite much. I mean, not compared to hours, what I trained before, but just compared to the total amount of kilometers I do per week. And now I do basically all in flat on hard surface, mostly Hormark or sometimes just normal gravel roads. But so it sums up to like 180, 190 kilometers, and also like 4 hours strength training. So this is completely different in that way. And also I would say the toughest session, they were before quite different. And now there are many long runs or really like, tough interval sessions, which are more kind of like 3x5 kilometers instead of 4x4 minutes. So it's quite a different in training.
Are you do all the trainings alone, or do you have a coach together with you, or other runners? Do you have any matching on these sessions, especially the hard, tough sessions?
Yeah, it sounds a bit sad, but basically I was training the whole winter alone now. The main reason is because I have now a really fixed training plan, and it's not so easy to then get the other guys which want to do exactly the same program. And then, last but not least, on the really long and tough session, you need guys who can follow. And but for the longest session, I mostly have like somebody who is accompany me by bike. So I'm not there alone, but running alone. Yeah.
Is it tougher to do this mentally? I mean, for the head.
Yeah. Also, it's quite the difference. I mean, in orienteering, every second we have to do some decision. We are thinking about the best route. About every single second we do decisions, so it never gets boring. And here it's quite the difference. And as this project is mainly about the time and not about like racing in the means of will I be faster than the other guy. So for me, it's really about the time. So this is quite tough mentally if you realize, okay, the second slips away, or you have 20Ks done so far in the training and still 10, 15 to go. So it's quite a new challenge for me. Yeah,
you're talking about the time, and the time that's probably written in the wall in your apartment is 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 10 seconds, isn't it?
Yes. So this is the standard for the Olympics, the international standard, and if I want to qualify, it's just 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 10 seconds. It's of course a really, really high ambition. Switzerland in history, just 2 runners were faster than this, and now an orienteering guy comes and wants to break into this barrier. So yeah, it's ambitious, but at the moment I'm still optimistic that it's possible. But I've never done a flat fast marathon, so I have no experience. It's nice to have high ambition and big dreams and big goals, but let's see how it will end in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I assume you have had some standard sessions that you measured to see if you are on the right direction towards this goal. And how does it look like?
Yeah. From the physiological side, it doesn't look too bad. So from that side, we're quite optimistic that that's possible. So for example, last week I was running 1 hour on the goal pace on the treadmill. And yeah, we measured the heart rate and the lactate after 1 hour. And these values, I would say, as I can interpret it, they were quite promising. But, you know, this is just one parameter. And at the end, how the weather will be if I have a good group has at least such an influence on the time. But yeah, if these parameters wouldn't be good at the moment, then I wouldn't have basically from the beginning no chance. And at the moment they look good, so I'm optimistic that on a good day it can be enough.
Good day, definitely. You need a good day, and I think the big excitement is what will happen after 35Ks or something like that. You will run. As we're talking now, in a couple of days, Swiss champs in half marathon. What do you feel you need to have there to still be in contact with the goal?
Yeah, it's hard to say because this week, it's not an easy week or a really recovering week. So we are aware of that I have some training load now coming into these championships. But yeah, I hope to be, of course, on at least on this goal time now for the semi-marathon with the high train. But we will see, because it's on a place where it can be very windy. So, yeah, the condition will have, I think, quite an impact on the time. But I hope to be below 63, of course, and then we'll see how good the conditions are. Yeah, as I said, I don't go in with fresh legs now into this race. Yes.
How is the course in Paris where you will try to qualify in 7th of April? Is it? I assume it's quite flat, but is it windy? Can it be windy there?
Yeah, of course. It's the 7th of April. It can be everything. But like the course, it's not completely flat. It's a bit up and down. I think this is not just too bad to have some difference also. But like the biggest, what I'm most afraid of is towards the end. It's a rather big climb with a really short time towards the finish. So I might suffer quite a lot, but otherwise it's a fast city marathon where the fastest guys were already running 2:03, 2:04 minutes. So it's not probably not the most fastest, but it's a nice course.
Yeah, question from the orienteering environment there. Do you feel that you have all the orienteering, you're defending the orienteering sport when you're up against the roadrunners and in this kind of competition?
Yeah, maybe kind of. Now in Switzerland, there was quite some media coverage about this project, or when I said I tried to qualify. And then they always talk about me as the orienteer who tried to challenge the athletic guys. And so it's somehow quite nice, and I'd like to hear that, and also like to show that we are in orienteering, we have a really high level in running, and I think with a good result on the Paris Marathon, I can prove that we are in orienteering, we are physically on a really top level.
Yeah, that would be nice. What concrete are you will you do the last weeks up to the marathon in the tapering phase of this training project?
Yeah, as I said, now this is the last race on this weekend, semi-marathon SM, and then it's one more week with around 160k, and then it's just two more weeks to go, and the last two more weeks are kind of tapering weeks. I don't have the exact training plan, but basically, the idea is to do as little as possible and try to rest. And I'm not expert in marathon tapering, but that will be really interesting to see how I will react to this after then 2 easy weeks and before the big race.
Yeah, and all the orienteering world will log into a YouTube stream, or maybe this is on television also. The first weekend there in April, just past the Easter. Where is it best to follow this? Do you know?
The best place is right on place in Paris. Then I think in French TV channels they will show it. I'm not sure if Eurosport will show it or if they have a YouTube channel. Really, I can't tell you exactly. I just miss them showing the race.
Yeah, but for your own, what will it be? Is it? Are you unsure? Of course, you are unsure of what will happen after this. If you will manage, then it will be still marathon. But if you don't, will you then switch to more knockout sprint relevant training, or how will the spring look like then?
Yes, also if I don't make the time and qualify for the Olympics, then my aim is to be back at the World Cup in Switzerland. Of course, I don't expect there to be in top shape for a knockout sprint, as the training now was quite different. But yeah, the basic will be really good, of course. And then I hope that I can match up until summer for World Champs, for Sprint World Champs. So this is basically the plan. But yeah, now it's all focus now on 7th of April, and then I will decide how I want to continue with the season.
Yeah, that looks really exciting, and we are thankful for that you have had some time to talk to us in your prep here, Matthias. And then, as I said, we will try to follow you there in the fight against this time in 7th of April, and it will be exciting to see. And you know, it's never a defeat to go back to orienteering. That's the biggest sport of them all, you know.
Yeah, that's what I tell all the journalists out here. They always ask me how it is, and they always say, yeah, you know, I haven't started with marathon earlier because I love orienteering so much. And yeah, most probably, or they say, and if you have a really good time and you go on then with marathon, I said, yeah, maybe for the Olympics, but then 25 is World Champs in Finland. Of course, I will be again with a map and the compass in my hand in Finland.
Yeah, because we know you are still missing the World Champs in long distance.
Right.
Yeah, but one thing at a time, and no, first, good luck going for the Olympics, Matthias. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
For the last part to go.
That was Mr. Kibbutz, best orienteer in the world last year, and now he's going to marathon in Paris, maybe. And you talked about his predictions for this half marathon. Yeah, and he was better than he predicted, as I have noticed.
Yeah, so I think it was 63 that were the target time, maybe a little bit faster. And he ran it in 1 hour, 2 minutes and 24 seconds. Running, I think he did basically the whole race in front. In the last 8 to 10 kilometers, he was alone in the lead. Very, very solid performance. Of course, the course is fast, but there's always a big advantage of having some pace holders and so on. So I think it's very, very impressive to run 62.20 in a race where you have to do everything yourself. And yeah, I mean, that's...
I was a bit in contact with him after the race, and he said that it was going too slow when he took the back of the other guy. So he had to go all alone in the lead.
Yeah, and then, you know, 1 hour... 2 minutes and 24 seconds, I think that's equals about 2 minutes and 56 seconds per kilometer. So, I mean, yeah, it's not that impressive. I'm pretty sure I could keep up for about 800 meters.
So, yeah. I think about his training there, I thought it was quite interesting. He was doing so much strength training.
Yeah,
I was not I did not know that was so important in road racing.
I think there is a lot of different schools of thoughts in the running environment about this. I guess there are some of the good runners, they are doing proper strength training in a little regularly, and other top runners, they do the minimum. But yeah, Matthias has been doing a lot of strength training for the orienteering, and then I think it makes sense to continuing with what's obviously been working quite well, even if he's doing some adjustments for the training, to avoid injuries and so on. And I think it's also important for his return to orienteering. I think it would have been, if he did 4 months of marathon training without any strength training, that would have increased the risk during this period, of course, but also a massive risk when he's returning to more orienteering training, for example, with sprint training, with more stop and go and so on. So I think that's not only because of the marathon training, but that's also a bit in the back mind with the return to orienteering.
Yeah, to keep the orienteering, muscles awake. You mentioned the 7th of April, he will do his try there in Paris Marathon.
Yep, and then, it's always hard to know what the half marathon equals to in marathon. I think I heard a lot of marathon people there speaking about what you can do in half marathon. You multiply it with 2 and then you add 5 minutes. And if you do it by that formula, then Kibos should be able to run 1:09:50. But now he's, as he said, this time he ran it with full marathon training the whole weekend with a lot of kilometers and so on, no resting for this race. And he will, of course, rest up for the Paris Marathon. So maybe he can shave off a bit of time because of that. And then also maybe a shave off a bit of time with the good pacemaker and a good group to run in. So I'm definitely more optimistic now than I was 1 month ago or 2 months ago. And I think he has a chance to make it. But as he said, it will be extremely hard, and there are so many other factors. You know, suddenly there is bad weather, there's wind, the group is running too fast or too slow and not maybe he gets problem with the stomach, maybe when it comes to 35 kilometers the muscles can't deal with it anymore, as it is his first marathon. So it will be extremely interesting to see. I'm giving him a 12% chance of making it, and that's much, much higher than I thought 2 months ago.
As you said, really interesting to see. And I like that he is taking this challenge. And as he mentioned, he's got a lot of media attention on it also. So, in that kind of way, it should be good for orienteering if he makes it. But, it's not an easy challenge, this one.
Yeah, but, you know, it's good for orienteering even if he doesn't make it. I mean, he can run time below 2:10 and it's extremely impressive, and then we still get to enjoy him for the big relays and for the world champs and so on in summer. So this project has more or less only upsides. Unless he injures himself, there is only upsides.
Do you think Kasper Fosse, I hope he will manage this time?
Maybe.
Then it will be not so tough to get another sprint world champs victory in Scotland. But a long time before 7th of April also, there is some races in the second last weekend of March. We are going into Easter and it's starting to get really dense with races. This Danish Spring will be 2 world ranking events, or only 1 world ranking event here?
I think it's 2 world ranking events, both the long distance and middle distance are world ranking events. Unfortunately, not with the best start fields, but some really good runners, of course, on the women's side, Sabina Aumo and Agnes Nørgaard Kracht is maybe the biggest favorites on the men's side. Yeah, the young Oscar Brom Jensen, Marius Ødum, and also Samu Heiskanen is traveling from Finland. So some good runners here. There's also some world ranking sprints in Czech Republic, but it seems to be quite a few elite runners entered. But we will have a look at the results and see if we can see something interesting. And then the two big stuff this weekend is the Mosenstafetten, the traditional relay opening in Sweden, with also two individual races. There's always a night mass start on Friday and then a shortened long distance on Saturday. And then the relay on Sunday, Mosenstafetten with four legs in both the women's class and men's class. Legs normally around 45 minutes or something like that. Quite big field. In the men's class, there is 90 teams. In the women's class, it's 51 teams. Most of the good Swedish clubs are there. And also some from Norway, Entenvi and Nydal. Unfortunately, they are not there with all the best runners, but still good teams. And in the men's relay, we can see that some teams, they have already entered their team selections. And I think IFK Göteborg first team is the team to look out for so far. Starting with Linus Kristiansson, then Philip Ossesson, Quentin Mollet, and then Kasper Fosser on the last leg. I think it will be that will be one of the teams you have to fight down if you want to win this relay, because that's a strong team.
Yeah, really, really strong team there. But it will be interesting to see all the good teams up against each other there as a teaser for the relay season. And the opening of the Swedish Relay League the weekend afterwards.
Yep, and then the last thing to look out for this coming weekend is the MOOC Mediterranean Orienteering Championship, also in Italy. It's first this traditional MOOC camp with trainings, and then the MOOC Championship with two races in Friday and Saturday. So Wednesday there's a knockout day. Thursday is a sprint relay, and then the two stages, which I assume is middle distance, which is sprint races, but I'm not entirely sure. I was looking in the bulletin yesterday, but it was a lot of info about these training days before, but not so much info about the races. Here is the good starting fields. Just to mention a few of the entered runners, Tove Alexandersson is there, Evely Kasiku is there, Vilma von Krusenstjerna, some strong Danish runners, Malin Kristiansson, Josefin Lind, some good, decent Swiss runners, Deborah Stadler, Katja Brutsch, and so on. So, of course, when Tove is on the start line, she is the big, big favorite. But there's also other good runners in the women's class. And then in the men's class, the field is a bit deeper. You don't have Kibus, you don't have Fosser, but you still have a lot of guys that have been winning medals internationally and having top results, World Cup, European Champs, World Championship, and so on. Martin Reiborn is there. Jonathan Gustafsson, Isak von Krusenstjerna, August Molén. That's four guys from Sweden with the international medals. Thomas Heikkilä is there. Tuukka Seppä is there. Also some strong Norwegian runners. Eirik Langdal Breivik, our guest from a couple of weeks ago. Both the Eidsmo brothers, Cornelius Björk, Ruslan Glebov. And also some good Swiss runners in Timo Suter and Tino Polsini. So, yeah, a lot of good sprint runners are down in Italy the coming week. And I think this is the kind of races where I think you can start seeing some trends in who's done really well with the winter training and got their sprint routines turned on from the first moment.
Yeah, I think we should also mention Oscar Andrén, otherwise he will win this race because he's angry by not being mentioned. Oh, I'm just joking, but he is also a really good sprint orienteer. He's running World Cup for Sweden and European champs last autumn.
Yeah, and he's one of those guys that he doesn't get a lot of chances in the World Cup and so on. But when he does, he's doing really well. I think he was in the top 15 at European champs, and he's also has some other top results like that from the few other chances he's had internationally.
Yeah, he was around top 10 in the Czech Republic in the sprinter. Yeah, but we should not argue or argument Andrén into the Swedish team, but we can see what he is up to early spring in the Mook camp and the races there in Italy. But that will be next episode. Thank you for listening this week.
And we will be back next week. Bye-bye.
Mannen dro ut og løp orientering med kart og kompass og med rektige sko. Sikta sågar etter beste notering, for kroppen var lett og god.
Evonational Orienteering Podcast. Map and compass, navigation skill, orienteering competition.
Jeg har møtt noe jævlig på posten her oppe.
Running like a motherfucker. Evonational Orienteering Podcast.